Today marks 1 year since a wildfire ripped through Lahaina, killing more than 100 people and decimating centuries of history in the town that was once the capital of the Hawaiian Kingdom. A federal investigation into what caused the fire has not yet been released, but last week, plaintiffs and defendants in hundreds of lawsuits agreed to a proposed $4 billion global settlement. It remains to be seen how that money will be distributed. We recently checked back in with survivors of that fire to see how they're doing 1 year later and how they plan to mark this day.
We have decided that we want to go to Lahaina and we want to spend the day together and sit at the beach and do kind of like what we used to do.
Erica Souza and her husband lost the home they owned, where they had lived with their two children. They now have a new baby and they have spent the past year living with friends and family. Now they're moving to transitional housing.
I don't feel settled yet. So to have long-term planning, that's challenging.
My name is Debbie Arellano. I was born in Wailuku and raised in Lahaina.
Before the fire, Arellano lived in a compound with her parents, siblings, and their families. Their home was severely damaged in the fire. She's currently renting about 40 minutes from Lahaina. She leaves the house each day at 5:30 a.m. to commute to her job as a vice principal at Lahaina Luna High School. It's not perfect, but she says she is feeling more rooted.
I'm working on my garden. The garden's always been my healing space.
She says that she'll spend today reflecting at home with her family.
I'm okay with the sadness. I just don't want to be in public with it, I guess. I don't want to share the moment with anybody.
It's still a very strong air of uncertainty.
If I sit down and really think about the future, it really is kind of paralyzing.
Jojo Vasquez and Elisa Escaño Vasquez lost their home and car in the fire. They own a restaurant in Lahaina and say that staffing has been tough over the last year since there's so little housing available. Today, the family plans to drive through the historic downtown, their first time since last year.
It's just really paying respect to that piece of history we all shared at one point.
Alex Calma lost his uncle, Rafael Imperial, in the fire. He's planning to go to the remembrance at the Lahaina Civic Center tonight to pay his respects to those who died.
And I'm sure that me and my family will go to my uncle's cross at the bypass. You gotta feel to heal. You can't forget those that have passed on.
Calma lived in Lahaina for decades, but now he's in the middle of his fourth move on Maui since last year. The gym where he worked as a personal trainer burned down, as did many venues where he gigged as a musician. But the fire on Maui has inspired him to work in nature conservation.
This really put an emphasis that I really, you know, I gotta help. If you take care of the land, the land will take care of you.
Another person who lost his home in the fire was Hawaii State Senator Angus McKelvey. He represents West Maui. He's also a lifelong resident of Lahaina, and he joins us now. Senator McKelvey, welcome to All Things Considered.
Aloha. Thank you for having me today.
There are so many memorial events planned in Lahaina this week. How are you personally observing the one-year marker?
I'm being re-triggered. I mean, I had trauma from this thing, and like many other people, everything's being re-triggered right now.
What does that feel like to be re-triggered? Can you explain what that means for you?
It's horrific. It's like being replaying a movie that you don't want to watch again over and over again. And I was front and center for the whole thing. And you talk about the health and mental health things that have arisen from this fire. They're still ongoing, and the lack of resource and the ability to get care was already a challenge before the fire. Now it's nearly impossible.
Let's talk about one aspect of that, because the fires destroyed thousands of homes and other structures. They displaced so many families. It worsened a pre-existing housing crisis on Maui. And I know that survivors are still struggling to find long-term places to live, many of them. So 1 year on, what would you say are the most important ongoing challenges that people are still facing when it comes to housing?
Oh, well, getting any kind of housing, both temporary housing that they know that will be there for them, even if their rebuild of their house or finding another rental takes longer, which it will. Having housing that is continuous and they're not moved around. And then, you know, a lot of people are dependent upon the direct lease program, and they were signed at rates that were astronomically above the universe, which created a hyperinflation in the rental market across the board. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen when the FEMA cliff, you know, happens, when they don't renew these rates at these huge amounts to everybody? There'll be a massive turnout because people can't afford it.
Yeah. I know that visits to Maui are still down significantly when compared to where they were before these fires. How is that playing out day to day in people's lives there?
It's having a huge effect. I mean, people are losing their income. They were, people who have been able to get their jobs back are seeing reduced income. There clearly is visitors coming in, but many visitors still have respect for Lahaina, and it's out of respect that they don't come over here. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to vacation in a war zone. That's not the way it looks because of the cleanup efforts. However, it still has that feel about it sometimes, especially when you're on the outside looking and hearing things from people about all the issues that are going on.
Meanwhile, rebuilding has begun in Lahaina, obviously, though there's still a long, long way to go. How is it going? Like, what are the biggest challenges you see ahead on the rebuilding effort?
Land use issues. You know, the cleaning up, you know, I will give the Corps and the cleaning division of FEMA props here to get like 98% of the residential clean. And they're making inroads on the commercial now. It's good, but that's kind of the easy part, if you will, in the struggle, is now comes the hard part of rebuilding. And the biggest challenge is going to be all of these different political interests that are now weighing in that normally wouldn't weigh in on a town that's standing. And then you have people who have, Lahaina was a funky town that kind of grew up around itself, where you and your neighbor just had kind of general agreements about things, right? Mm-hmm. Now everything's burned down. You have to go and get your property line remetered. Now all sorts of problems are popping up.
Let me just ask you, throughout all of this tragedy over the past year, where do you see your community finding strength?
Within each other. That's it. Lahaina's always been a community of large families, of deep roots. And after the days after the fire and even now, people are finding ways to just be there for each other. I think the most profound thing for people to really take in and realize, this disaster wiped out the entire social infrastructure from soup to nuts, from A to Z, everything, daycare, grocery stores, the ability to talk to your friends, you know, on a daily basis, your informal network of elderly kupuna care or kids gathering together, community programs, all that gone. And that is the monumental thing of you have to rebuild an entire society, if you will, on the west side of this island. And so that's why I plead patience and support for people because, you know, we are moving ahead. The community is staying strong, but understanding and support, especially on the 1 year, is important. And I, for one, appreciate those who still remember Lahaina and know that thanks to all these things, the diaspora, everything, that they're still, you know, with us.
State Senator Angus McKelvey of West Maui, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the ongoing coverage. Aloha.
Aloha.